Welcome back to season two of the Ivy League Prep Academy podcast, equipping you to successfully pursue the college of your dreams. We believe everyone deserves to reach their full potential, and the admissions process shouldn't hold you back.
Some time ago, someone asked me, I can't remember if it was on TikTok or on Instagram, but someone asked me how they can increase their chances of getting into Harvard. And I actually took the time to answer that question. I thought it was a good, fair question that a lot of people have. I made a video about it. And what I told this person and told the world through this answer is that the number one thing you can do to make yourself competitive for the most selective colleges in the world, including Harvard, is to learn to love learning, right? To figure out a way to just commit yourself to loving learning. And that's important regardless of the barriers that might be in front of you. So you might have a really bad or boring teacher. And I said, you know what? Find a way to inject excitement and curiosity into the subject despite the teacher. And today that's easier than it's ever been before with YouTube and other tools that you can use to learn new ideas. Honestly, injecting curiosity and awe and amazement and interest into learning is easier than it's ever been before. There are lots of ways that you can do that. And I talked about, you know, if your school has graffiti on it and it's a really bad learning environment, organize a drive, organize students to come together and clean up the graffiti or raise money to fix the bathroom door or whatever, right? Whatever those barriers are to your learning, learn to have a really positive and optimistic, but also curious attitude around learning and around school itself. I stand by that advice. I think it's excellent advice. And today I wanted to revisit this idea because I've just finished reading Hidden Potential by Adam Grant. And Adam Grant is, you know, one of my favorite thinkers anyway. He's written other outstanding books and he's a perennial TED's stage presenter. He's just fantastic. He's a professor at UPenn. And he has lots of amazing ideas that I think are worth listening to and paying attention to. And while I didn't interview him for this podcast, although I think that would be a great idea, I don't know him, but that would be amazing. He's incredible. I do think that there are a couple of stories from his book that are worth sharing, especially in the context of my previous answer about how to increase your chances of getting into a selective college like UPenn, where he teaches. He teaches at Wharton. And also in the context of the Ivy League Challenge and just how important it is to begin building the kind of character and building yourself into the kind of person that's going to be successful at an early age. And perhaps that process can and should begin even earlier than I originally thought. I've been telling parents for quite some time that as soon as your teen's brains are ready, as soon as there's been enough development that they can begin to think abstractly, they can begin to think about core values, that's the time to start figuring out core values. That there's no reason to delay that because the sooner you begin thinking about these big ideas, the sooner you can benefit from that. There's an incredible dividend that comes from thinking about and aligning your life choices with your core values. And that's even independent of college prep, but as far as college prep goes, it's massively important. All right, but I love this story because Adam Grant shares some research that was done back in the 1980s. In the state of Tennessee, there was a study of 79 schools, more than 11,000 students, that was done to determine whether smaller class sizes lead to better learning outcomes. But after that study had already been completed and kind of had the books closed, one of the most brilliant minds in economics, Raj Chetty, who is literally the MacArthur Genius Grant Award winner, he's one of the world's most influential economists. Okay, so Raj Chetty took that data and he said, wow, hold on. All of the students and all of the teachers were randomly assigned to these larger or smaller classrooms. And so there's a treasure trove of data here. We can start to compare things and find correlations. And one of the most interesting things that he found is that student success as adults can be predicted based on who taught them in kindergarten. In other words, at age 25, those students who had more experienced kindergarten teachers were earning significantly more money than their peers, and it wasn't even close. Now, that's shocking to me. But as you go into the actual findings and you look at what Raj Chetty discovered, you find that not only were these people who had more experienced kindergarten teachers earning more money at age 25, they also had some pretty compelling differences in fourth grade and in eighth grade. Their teachers rated them as significantly more proactive, more pro-social, better disciplined, more determined compared to their peers. There were academic areas that also made a difference in student success, but those differences eventually leveled out. But the differences that remained and kind of stuck with these children all the way through teenage years and into adulthood and beyond were these kind of character ideas. This ability to identify what matters to you and to consistently take action that aligns with those things that matter to you. How do you respond to challenges? How do you garner a team to work with you to support you through a challenge? How proactive are you? How willing are you to make mistakes? Like, those are character issues. I just think that is amazing. Of course, we'll talk about this in just a second when we get to kind of my synopsis on how the Ivy League Challenge ties into this idea. But there's one more story that comes from the book that I think is absolutely amazing. This story takes place in 1991 in Harlem. Harlem, of course, especially in 1991, was well known for being overrun with poverty and gang violence and drugs and all kinds of issues. It wasn't exactly the kind of place that you would expect to find a championship chess team, right? But amazingly, there was a coach who actually became the first Black chess grandmaster in the world, Maurice Ashley, who took this team of Harlem middle school students and taught them. But he taught them in an unconventional way. Instead of the way that every other coach teaches chess, like how do you make an opening move? Where do you go from there? What's the strategy? What are the different combinations? How do you think several steps in advance? All of those things, he ignored all of that. And he began by just placing a few pieces on the board and had one against one, had these students try to checkmate each other. And so what happened is these teens, these middle school students, began to experience the joy of winning, the sting of losing, and they began to see chess as a fun activity, something that they wanted to get good at so that they could experience more of the joy of winning than the sting of losing. And that desire to get good at chess was strong enough to propel them through the challenging part of learning chess, because learning all the different opening moves and where to go from there and how to think 6 steps in advance or 12 steps in advance or whatever, that whole process of stretching your brain and learning all of the different strategic ideas that go into winning in chess, that's going to be a bit of a grind. But if the students beforehand are excited to learn how to play because they've already tasted the joy of winning and they want to learn, they want to go through that grind so that they can win more often, then they have the stamina to do that. I love this story because it is so true. It is so true in so many ways. If you want to increase your chances of getting into Harvard or any really competitive, really selective college, the most important thing you can do is learn to love learning and develop that skill to infuse curiosity and awe and inspiration into the learning that you're doing. Now, I understand where this comes from, but I think it's so sad that so many people who are involved in college prep, and we're talking about teachers, college counselors, parents, and even teens, all of these different parts of that equation, so many of them are just intimidated and scared by college prep. And they'll even give you advice if you start asking questions, you know, how do I begin preparing my fifth grader, my sixth grader, my seventh grader to start thinking about college? So many people will get defensive and say, oh, let them be a child. Let them live their life. Don't stress them out right now about college. And I get where that's coming from. It's coming out of love, but it's coming out of a misunderstanding of how you really prepare for life and for college. Preparing for college is no different than preparing for life. And if you really want to be prepared for a great college or for a great life, then you need to develop the skill of infusing the love of learning, infusing curiosity, infusing fun into the learning journey, the learning process. And so part of that is covering up all of the academic gaps, right? If you have knowledge gaps or skill gaps, it's going to take some work to fill in those gaps so that you're up to speed with your peers. If you're behind in math and you feel dumb every time it comes to math class, then you're going to learn to hate math. So you have to fill in those knowledge gaps. If you don't write as well as you need to, then you need to fill in that skill gap. And so that's a part of injecting confidence and fun into your learning journey. And another part is just actually injecting the fun. Once you have filled in all the knowledge gaps, all of the skill gaps, and you're at least up to speed with your peers, you're not behind, you're not feeling like you can't do things that your peers can do, as long as you're up to speed or a little bit ahead, you're going to have the confidence that you can do everything that you're doing. At that stage, it's a matter of injecting love, injecting fun, injecting curiosity, injecting joy into your learning. Instead of teaching chess front to back, start from back to front. Start with helping teens experience the joy of winning and the sting of losing, and get them hooked on that experience. Let them experience what it feels like when they actually do the thing. Now, one of the things that I'm most proud about the Ivy League Challenge is that we do that same thing. Now, I've just learned about both of these things recently, the study about elementary school or kindergarten teachers, and the story about the Harlem chess team. These are new stories to me, but the implications just reinforce what we have been doing in the Ivy League Challenge, that it is not too early to figure out how to align your life with your core values. It's not too early to teach character skills in kindergarten, and it's not too early to start thinking about and asking questions about your core values as soon as you're ready to handle those kinds of conversations. And I do think that for the most part, that's eighth grade or ninth grade for most students. And if you haven't done it by eighth grade or ninth grade, and you're in 10th grade now or 11th grade, or you're a rising senior when you listen to this, it's not too late. I mean, why wait until you have a midlife crisis or some catastrophe, some crisis in the family that shakes your foundation and causes you to question the choices that you've been making before you start to think about your core values and how you want to live your life? That's what most people do. They just kind of get stuck in the trance of preparing for whatever they're asked to do, instead of taking the time to really think about what matters most to them and how to align their lives with what matters most to them. Now, what does that have to do with infusing fun into the journey? It's the same idea as this chess experience. If you can experience the end result first, if you can understand why you need to learn the opening moves in chess and why you need to stick through the grind of learning, you know, all of the different things, the strategies, the tactics that go into making you a great chess player, there's a tremendously long time of just grinding it out to figure all that stuff out. But if you are excited for that grind because you're excited that it will make you a better chess player because you've already tasted the thrill of victory, the sting of defeat, and you want to become better, then that grind can be fun. It can be meaningful. It can be amazing. And learning is the same way. If you can figure out your core values, if you can figure out the difference that you choose to make on this planet, if you can figure out who you want to be, then suddenly the things that you're learning in school can tie into the kind of person that you choose to become. And even if it doesn't, even if you can just say, look, I have to finish this series of classes so that I can get into this particular college. And I want to go to that college so I can study this or that. That's totally different from these classes I have to do now, but I can see the end result. I can see that I want to be the kind of person who's going to solve problems in the real world. And these are the kinds of problems that I want to solve, and I need those kinds of skills. I need to fill this knowledge gap or these skill gaps so that I can solve those kinds of problems. When students can see how their current activities and the classes that they're taking and the things that they're learning can lead to or help them on their journey towards the kind of person that they want to be, then suddenly that grind can become a little bit easier. And one last idea that we teach in the Ivy League Challenge that I want to share here. Even when you see the end result, you're willing to do the hard things because you have tasted the thrill of victory and the sting of defeat, and you're willing to go through the grind. Once you're in that stage, right, there's still going to be a grind. And what we teach in the Ivy League Challenge, I also stand by, and I want to just share here because I think it's so relevant. So many people feel like, I just got to grind through this. You know, once you're there and you really do have to grind through it, then I have several suggestions, right? Of course, we talk about all the time, if you're sleep deprived, if your body doesn't have the stamina or your brain doesn't have the calories to focus, then that grind is going to take a really, really long time, okay? So the first thing is you need to be in a position to really rock it, right? You need to really be able to expend a lot of your resources to move through that stuff, that material that's less enjoyable. You need to be your best self for those periods of time. Plan accordingly. Schedule your time, but also schedule your energy so that you can attack those things that are a bit of a grind when you're at your best. Now, sometimes you can remove some of the struggle, some of the monotony, some of that torture from the grind itself. And if that's possible, then you should. And two questions that we ask our students to always ask before you begin that grind, before you begin doing the thing that you think is required in order to get where you want to go, there might be a better way. So ask a couple of questions. Number one, how can I make this fun? There are a number of different things that you can do when you face these kind of these grind situations, but you're not going to think about them if you don't ask the question. So the first question is, how do I make this fun? The second question is, how can I make this easy? Sometimes you think you have to do a lot in order to get to the other side of the grind, but sometimes you don't. Sometimes you deceive yourself. And just by stopping and asking the question, is there a way to make this easier? How can I make this fun? How can I make this easy? You ask those two questions to try to inject curiosity, inject fun, inject spontaneity, inject music and dancing. Now, when that's not possible, when you can't inject fun and enjoyment, and it's not something that, you know, you can make it easier, it's just something you've got to do and you've got to take the long route, then as you're doing that, always, always, always approach that grind with your best energy at the time of day that you can be most focused, and remove the distractions, remove everything else, set yourself up for success. The bottom line here, we do not need to wait to build character. If we can learn character from a more experienced kindergarten teacher, and just learning those character skills at a very young age influences dramatically the amount of success we have by the age of 25, then absolutely, it is not too early to start figuring out your core values. Clarity around your core values, clarifying what your core values are and the kind of person that you choose to become, is exactly the thing that you need to do to reverse the chessboard, right? Instead of learning chess from forwards to backwards, start from the back. Start from checkmate practice and learning the thrill of winning and the sting of losing in very quick succession until you get a thirst for chess. And with that thirst for chess, you can, of course, have the stamina to make it through the learning process. The same thing holds for very difficult high school years. If you can see where you're going by recognizing your core values and the kind of person that you choose to become, then the learning that we do during high school can align so closely with who we want to become that we begin to see this as just the process of becoming more and more happy and leading a more and more meaningful life. We can do this. You're not too young and you're not too old. Begin with core values. Begin with a vision of what you choose to become so that you can tie your daily activities to that vision and see the end result. Just like the best way to increase your chances of getting into Harvard is to infuse fun and creativity and curiosity into your learning, the best way that you can prepare for college and for a meaningful life is to figure out your core values and infuse that meaning and the substance of becoming the kind of person that you want to be into your life choices. Music for this episode came from We Are Here by Declare P. I'm Steve Gardner. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and share with a friend. Thanks for listening.